Now there's a brand new webpage, especially for this podcast. The Politocrat Daily Podcast can now be found on thepoliticrat.com, a brand new page that centralizes all of the places that you can listen to this podcast, the major platforms, and many others at thepoliticrat.com. Lots of content that you can see there right now and every single day. So subscribe now to the Politocrat Daily Podcast and make sure you visit thepoliticrat.com. Thank you. Welcome to the Politocrat. I'm Omar Moore. It is Wednesday, January the 6th, 2021. On this episode of The Politocrat, victory in Georgia, sweet Georgia blue, as both Democrats, Reverend Raphael Warnock and John Ossoff, who is on the verge of being officially declared the winner, if he hasn't already, of his Senate runoff against David Perdue, will enter the Senate very soon and have a Democratic majority with the help of the incoming Vice President, Kamala Harris. How sweet it indeed is. David Perdue, who mocked and was racist towards Senator Kamala Harris, is now going to be out of the Senate, as he was officially after Sunday at noon Eastern Time. And that Senate will be presided over by Vice President Kamala Harris. Oh, lots to talk about this sweet double victory, historic victory, happy victory, well-fought, hard-fought victory. Coming up next.
And so to everyone out there struggling today, whether you voted for me or not, know this. I hear you. I see you. And every day I'm in the United States Senate, I will fight for you. I will fight for your family. To our supporters, our incredible campaign team, and to my family, thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Welcome back. Reverend Raphael Warnock becomes a United States Senator. That was him in part of his acceptance speech. And I got to tell you, that's his victory speech last night. He did it remotely because, of course, of coronavirus. And it was live on Twitter and other platforms as well. I'm actually going to have the entire 9-minute message played during this episode at some point in case you were not able to hear it, see it, or have access to it on this podcast episode. You will be able to hear all 9 minutes of it. I will play that at some point during this episode. Well. How about it? It's so good to know that voters really do make a difference. To all of you who doubted, to all of you who thought, no, there's no way that the Democrats would ever pull this off. Not after Joe Biden did. And just 6 or 7 or 8 weeks later, we'd have this happen again. And have it happen twice again with two different Democrats at the same time winning the state of Georgia? Really? Two senators in the same southern state? Democratic? senators? No, oh, no, that could never happen. Not in 2021. I mean, we could get one Senate seat. I mean, shoot, we could just take that and be done. But two? Nah. Oh, that's us being a little bit too greedy, isn't it? We'll settle for one. In fact, I'm not so sure we're going to get that even. You know, that was what some people were saying, I'm sure. But I can honestly tell you that I never, ever had a doubt, ever, that this was going to happen. In fact, if you've listened to this particular podcast over the last few weeks and even the last couple of days, I told you right here, dear listener, right here, dear listener, I told you that you are going to see victories from both John Ossoff and Reverend Raphael Warnock. I said it then, I said it before then, I say it now, and it has happened. As I alluded to in the introduction, John Ossoff has not yet been officially declared the winner in his runoff race against David Perdue, but he will be. It's only a matter of time. In fact, by the time you listen to this episode, he may well already have been declared the winner by news organizations. Ossoff continues to stretch his lead, and last time I looked, it was roughly 13,000 votes. It may well be more than that right now as you listen to this, but I guarantee you it's going to be more than that. When these votes continue to be counted, and they're really only left in majority Democratic counties in the state of Georgia, John Ossoff is going to stretch his lead to something like 50,000 votes or more. It will be an unassailable lead, and there will no longer be any kind of need for any recount. I think the provision is 0.2%. And once it is 0.2% margin-wise, then a recount kicks in. If it's any greater than that, then the candidate has to pay for the recount themselves. If it is 0.2% or less, then that means that the recount is given automatically and for free of charge. Free of charge, for free. But there is not going to be a recount here. I strongly doubt it, because why would David Perdue want to waste more campaign money to get a recount, which he's going to lose? Rarely do recounts change the results at all. And if anything, they usually add to the person who is leading in the race. Usually happens that way. And if the person who's leading loses votes, it's usually not more than, say, 300 or 400 votes. And with John Ossoff leading by roughly 13,000 votes, why spend millions of dollars for a recount that's only going to net you a deficit of, say, 12,800, 12,500? I mean, that doesn't make any sense. In fact, Sonny Perdue, the cousin of David Perdue, the former governor of the state of Georgia and an official in Trump's administration as an agriculture secretary, gave a speech last night, and he looked really forlorn. He looked defeated. He looked as if he knew. What we now know is that David Perdue is no longer in the Senate. John Ossoff will have 6 luxurious years once he is officially confirmed by news organizations and projected as the winner. 6 years in the United States Senate, John Ossoff will have. And I think he'll do some great things. Of course, we'll have to keep pushing. We'll have to keep watching, stay engaged. But this is an historic event that happened last night in Georgia. And I hope that people understand that it was. David Perdue ran a horrible campaign. He ran scared. He wouldn't go anywhere near John Ossoff, debating him just once. And after John Ossoff destroyed him, Perdue did not want any more of that. And as a result, he turned tail and ran, never to be heard from again on the debate stage. In fact, John Ossoff even debated an empty lectern. It was incredible. Last month that happened. I'll never forget that. The split screen of John Ossoff and an empty lectern. It's embarrassing. I mean, at one point, John Ossoff even turned to the empty lectern and gestured at it, looked at it. It was unbelievable. In short, David Perdue was an embarrassment and a racist. Trying to elongated the nose of John Ossoff. Yes, John Ossoff is Jewish, so that means now that you've got to be anti-Semitic or racist. I mean, that's what David Perdue thinks. Not me, I don't think that. But David Perdue does. It's just ridiculous. Ridiculous. Never apologize for that. That act of racism, that act of anti-Semitism. Never. Never apologize for being a racist when it came to Kamala Harris and the misogynoir he was using and all those. Never apologize for any of it. Ever. Then he either came down with coronavirus or was in contact with someone who tested positive for it, and he's had to isolate. So you didn't hear from him. I think that kind of says it all. And I don't know if that's karma or not, but perhaps those of you who believe in that kind of thing, well, perhaps he just got some of his, didn't he? With an election lost to boot. So David Perdue, take the L and go home. Guan! Go home. Good riddance. Adios. Arrivederci. Auf Wiedersehen. Get lost. I'll talk about Reverend Raphael Warnock's groundbreaking victory, historic victory, and about Kelly Loeffler. Go home, Stevie Wonder there. But really, that is, well, come on, that's addressed to Kelly Loeffler, isn't it? I'm going to be very gleeful about this, because Kelly Loeffler, who did not do a darn thing but probably front some of her fortune, her empire of money, to get that Senate seat in the first place. She was never elected, never, never elected at all to that Senate seat. And she prostrated herself and did absolutely nothing for the people of that state of Georgia. Did nothing, nothing, not a drop, an ounce of anything, except run ads to say that she was to the right of Attila the Hun. That's pretty much all she did. And also do some BS to the black women who play for the Atlanta Dream. I guess that's the name of the WNBA team, the women's basketball team in the Women's National Basketball Association, as it is called. She's a co-owner of that team. And, you know, it was just so good to see the women on that team wear Vote Warnock t-shirts. I'm not kidding. I'm not making that up. They actually did wear, when they came to it, I forget which arena it was. It might have been in Atlanta for a home game. They actually wore Vote Warnock t-shirts on in their warm-up gear. Or when they were traveling into the, walking, arriving at the arena. It was just great. And every one of them voted for Warnock. You know that. You know they did. Every one of those teams. And she and Leffler owns the team. Co-owner. And she did some, I don't even remember the whole story. She did some garbage to the players. Some draconian nonsense. I don't know what it was. I don't even remember now. My memory is it's just so belittling and silly stuff that she did. And my goodness me, she got hers, didn't she? And she absolutely had nothing to offer. Nothing to offer the voters except racism, which of course goes very well with a multitude of white voters who absolutely know that they cannot afford to look themselves in the mirror at their own profound failure and instead decide to look outward at somebody else and project their own failure and inadequacy onto black people and project their own shortcomings onto black people and then hate those people and then be racist toward them, violent toward them, such as so and such as this and that of Kelly Loeffler, who chose to pose with Klansmen. I have talked about this. I talked about this very recently, in fact, with, of course, as you know, Tia Mitchell. Tia Mitchell, who was the reporter, the Washington correspondent of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. And we had a conversation about that this week. What was it? Monday of this week. Monday, January the 4th. And she's clearly, in two different pictures at least, with someone who's known to be a member of the KKK. She never apologized for any of that. She doubled and tripled down. It's just disgusting. And it's not just Kelly Loeffler. It's a whole system that does this. Where white politician after white politician says, you know the way to win is to get to be racist, to be a racist. Because white people who vote this way are going to love it. Because they themselves are racist. So you're going to get racist white voters and they're going to vote for you. Even though you don't offer them a damn thing. Except, well, at least you can look down on those people over there who have darker skin tone than you do. Complexions are darker and browner. So you can look down on them. That's what they've got. That's all they've got. And that in and of itself is nothing. 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 Remember the old line from the 1960? In fact, it was 1960. It was LBJ on the campaign. Or maybe not on the campaign. He was probably vice president at the time. Well, he would have been on the campaign. It was 1960. So he was campaigning at the time. And I think he was the VP candidate. And he said something to the effect of, you know, and I can't even remember the exact quote. But it was basically, if the lowest white man can look down on the best, at the time they called it colored man, if you can convince that lowest white man to do that and convince him that he's better than the best colored man, well, not only can you convince him, you can get him to empty his pockets for you. He will do anything. In other words, I'm paraphrasing it. He will do anything once you've convinced him that he's better than the best black person around. He will tap dance for your ass. He will empty his pockets for you. You can con him and trick him. And that's what Donald Trump has been doing. That's what Richard Nixon did. That's what, I can go down a list of all these Republicans. And that's exactly the truth. That's one of the most accurate quotes that anybody has ever rendered anywhere. And LBJ knew what he was talking about. I mean, LBJ was from the South. He's from Texas. He's a Dixiecrat. He voted against anti-lynching law when he was in the House of Representatives in the 1940s into the 50s. And this guy was a Dixiecrat and he was a racist. I think this guy, even as a racist, knew what he was talking about when he said, if you can convince the lowest white man, he's better than the best colored man. That's what the language they used back in 1960. Hideous, but that's what they did. And I'm like, I don't condone it. So I'm not going to repeat that again. But you get the idea. And Kelly Loeffler was doing the same thing. David Perdue was doing the same thing. And they both lost. Not because white voters did anything special, but because it was down to black voters. It was down to black women who voted. It was down to black women who organized. It was down to black women like Stacey Abrams, who should be getting a freaking damehood, a knighthood, a damehood. If you want an American to be given an honor from Buckingham Palace, not that it has to be Buckingham Palace, it can be from the African continent, quite frankly, because Stacey Abrams is a queen as it is. So we don't have to go across the pond to jolly old England, my native country, to have her be given a damehood. I mean, she's a dame as it is. And she's just been fantastic in this country. Not just for Georgia. My God, they should, the Democratic Party should be really looking at her and giving her anything she wants to the extent that she wants anything from the party. Can you give her a DNC chair? Can you give her a Speaker of the House or something? I don't know. My God. How is someone like Stacey Abrams not... Well, I mean, I can answer that, can't I? So can you. She should be given everything she wants, but she's not giving anything. She doesn't necessarily want it, I think. She's working her you-know-what off, her behind off. And she's done this for 10, 15, 20 years. Busted it. Sacrificed. And she got some real revenge because even though she got stiffed out of a Georgia Democratic governorship, a gubernatorial race that she absolutely won, and she got stiffed by Brian Kemp and, I should say, Brad Raffensperger, who somehow is being recast as some kind of hero of the piece, which he definitely is not. Guy suppressing votes, black votes, even now, even last year, even into, I mean, this guy ain't no hero. Yeah, sure, he stood up to Donald Trump, and I get that, good for him, but he ain't a hero here. I mean, we have this tendency, especially in America, that when a Republican does something good or something that's normal that anyone should do, we go cock-a-hoop over here. We absolutely go cock-a-hoop. Jump up and down. Oh, yeah, well, Mitt Romney did something correct. Like, but when a Democrat does that, we don't jump up and down. Why not? Why don't we do that? But when a Republican does it, we treat it like it's some manna from heaven? Just to do the right thing is being exalted to the point of which you want to give them a knighthood? I mean, that's the way the corporate news media sets it up in this country. Oh, but Mitch McConnell actually said the words president-elect to Joe Biden in the same sentence. So somehow that makes Mitch McConnell some new freaking hero, some newfound hero? Well, good night, Mitch. good you-know-what night. Because if you go on my Twitter feed from January the 5th, 2021, I have some very choice words for Mitch McConnell. I have some very choice words for Mitch McConnell and for a lot of these other Republicans. And actually for some Democrats too, although I don't name them. You just have to go on the Twitter page. Because I'm telling you, I am not going to repeat those words here. I didn't even get to Reverend Warnock in the proper way. And I do want to thank Stacey Abrams and Latosha Brown of Black Voters Matter for their tireless work. I mean, Fair Fight Action organization that Stacey Abrams runs, and all these other organizers out here who've done such incredible work over these last, God knows how many years, and months, and weeks, and days, and hours. And from November, from way before then, they engineered all these victories, you know, three victories in the space of just over 2 months. It's just incredible. So, Reverend Warnock, you know, he's a reverend. Again, someone pointed out on Twitter, including myself, at least 4 or 5 black men have made it to the United States Senate in history, but from the South, according to one tweeter, I did not check this, but I think she's right, and I don't remember her name, I'll give her some credit here, but I think she's correct that Reverend Raphael Warnock becomes only the 5th black man from the South to become a United States Senator. Only the 5th. And what's interesting is that I thought there was only 5 ever, possibly, South or North or East or West. But it turns out, of course, Reconstruction, and I believe there were several black senators then, and there's a book called Before the Mayflower that points this out, and I'm sure there are other books that do it. The person who wrote Before the Mayflower, his name is Lerone, L-E-R-O-N-E, Bennett, B-E-N-N-E-T-T, Jr., Lerone Bennett Jr., Before the Mayflower. It's a very good book. You should read it. They do talk about Reconstruction in there, and they do talk about some black male senators. So this victory from Reverend Warnock, I should say, is a really big one. It's historic. And again, there are only 5 black men from the South who've ever been a United States Senator. One of them, of course, is currently seated. His name is Tim Scott of South Carolina. And Raphael Warnock will be only the second one, the second black man in the U.S. Senate in the same Congress. I don't think we've had 2 black men in this last 100 years. Or maybe there's one time in the 2000s where we might have had. That's not true. Cory Booker is the other one, so that's not true. Cory Booker, of course, is the 3rd black man. I completely forgot Cory Booker. So what you will have is 3 black men in the U.S. Senate. That might be a record during the course of one Congress. I don't think you've ever had that in a long time, where you've had 3 black men in one Senate. And no black women. Isn't that incredible? So black women who did the legwork, who did all the work, who did most of the work, organizing and everything else, no black women in the Senate as of January 20th. Kamala Harris is the only one, and when she leaves in exactly 2 weeks, no black women, but 3 black men will be in the U.S. Senate. We need to get some black women in the U.S. Senate. We need to get some Asian women in the U.S. Senate. And we do have at least 1 or 2, Tammy Duckworth. And, of course, right now, actually, we have one in Kamala Harris because she is South Asian as well. So, technically, we actually have 2, at least 2. Make that 3 with Maisie Hirono, who is a Pacific Islander, but I believe she may have some Japanese ancestry as well. So you've got at least 3 or 4 Asian women who are in the United States Senate. So, but we just need to get more black women in there, period. And I was so disappointed and very upset at California Governor Gavin Newsom for his selection of Alex Padilla, the Secretary of State of California, to become the next U.S. Senator. You know, but this is all political stuff and favoring people that has scratched your back, like Padilla has. He's a company hack. He's a Democratic operative. He's a DNC guy. He loves Hillary Clinton. Nothing wrong with that. But he's a water carrier for the corporates. Anyway, I don't want to veer off. I don't want to spoil what was a great night last night. I don't want to tarnish this episode by not acknowledging the really great campaign that Reverend Raphael Warnock ran. His ads were pretty much perfect. I played one or two of them a number of times on this podcast, a number of times. You know the ad. And it turned out that what I thought was somewhat passive and understated performance-wise in that one debate that Raphael Warnock, the Reverend, had with Kelly Loeffler, was actually a very good strategy. It kept with this calm, level-headed demeanor, confidence, leadership. And it worked. It absolutely worked. I mean, he won. He won going away, and he's continuing to build on his lead. So it works for him, and congratulations to Reverend Warnock. It was really good. First time running for political office, as far as I know. And, you know, a Baptist preacher. You know, this is the same church that I believe is Ebenezer Baptist Church down there in Atlanta, Georgia. This is the first, you know, this is the same church where, this is the same pastor, Reverend Warnock, whose church was the location for the eulogy and the funeral of John Lewis just a few months back. And I remember it like it was yesterday. Reverend Warnock was there in the pulpit as the MC, basically, for not that it's ceremonial, but for this funeral of a great icon, a great legend. And now he's going to the United States Senate. And I could tell you for a fact, folks, I'm sure it's happened. John Lewis is smiling. C.T. Vivian is smiling. Reverend Joseph Lowry is smiling. Amelia Boynton is smiling. And Ruth Bader Ginsburg is smiling. What a great night it was last night for Reverend Raphael Warnock. I'll play you his speech coming up. But you cannot deny what a great night it was for the Democrats. And they really do need to start looking at these grassroots organizations and stop running away from them. And I'm talking to the corporate Democrats, these moderates who lost all their seats. You are doing something wrong, right? And you've got to fix it. Your strategy is wrong. Your approach is wrong. Your messaging is all effed up. How come these two guys were able to do it? And those 11 or 12 or 14 or 15 or 16 or however many there were, Democrats who ran in the House could not do it. Say why. Why was it that you had these 14 or whomever, however many House Democrats flounder and lose, but you had two guys who ended up winning their races, and Ossoff is going to win, okay? I'm saying that now. He's going to win that seat. And you had a guy who was pilloried with this radical, liberal, Raphael Warnock. I mean, Kelly Loeffler repeated that over and over and over and over and over and over again during that debate. Like she was programmed. Like it was the one programming code that was typed into her. And that was the one that she went with. Like a robot, like a Stepford robot. It was just incredible. And that was the bulk of her contribution to that lousy debate that Warnock won. But like I said, I complained. I said, you know, wow, yeah, you won. But, you know, you really could have been devastating to her. You could have totally devastated her. But You know, he played Mr. Nice Guy, which is what he is. He's a nice guy. But it was the simplicity of his messaging, the urgency of the moment, the campaign ads, the affable nature that won over voters. He campaigned everywhere. And ultimately, that's what really got him through. And people trusted him, unlike Kelly Loeffler, who definitely, in my view, committed crimes. But of course, why would the system ever charge her with any of that for insider trading? Why would they ever do it? They are the system, as is she. I mean, she probably owns them. My goodness me. But there you have it. You know, it was an incredible night last night. And you have to really sit back and marvel at this, that this happened during a pandemic, during a coup attempt, which continues on later today, of course, and will continue today with the stunt that's going to be pulled by these decrepit, treasonous Republicans in the House and Senate in the joint session of Congress, who are going to stand up and go, "I object," like a bunch of misfit Spartacus. And they're going to make asses of themselves. And it's going to be so embarrassing and so destructive because it's a coup attempt yet again, a televised one yet again. And the thing is that on WSB TV in Atlanta last night, there were Republicans off the record or off camera telling the local Atlanta reporters of the news there that, hey, you know, Donald Trump really screwed us up. And that they were not feeling confident going into these two Senate races. And they absolutely had a right to feel that way. But it was so incredible. It really was. This victory that happened last night, these two victories, again, Ossoff is going to be at some point given the A-OK by the news media. And then it will be all official. It will be a clean sweep. Who would have thunk it during a pandemic, during a coup attempt? I mean, this is just remarkable. During an 8-week stretch where you just voted for Joe Biden, and now you've got even bigger turnout this time. Reverend Raphael Warnock outperformed his buddy, John Ossoff, outperformed, obviously, Kelly Loeffler, outperformed David Perdue, outperformed Joe Biden. What a phenomenal feat. And people loved Reverend Warnock. That's what happened there. That's why he won. His message was clear. He ran these really good feel-good ads. He is a preacher man, which he is. And so that went down well with lots of people in the Deep South, especially along that Bible Belt area. And also, you had a lot of black folk who are God-fearing down there. Not that they're not anywhere else. And yeah, some white people, I'm sure, were too. But let's make no mistake about it. White voters gravitated towards Kelly Loeffler and David Perdue. In large numbers, you're going to see that. Which is why I said earlier, you know, if it's not for black women in particular, this country's gone to the dogs. I mean, seriously. It's really, really black women who need to be getting the praise. Not that they want it, but this is something that they should be praised for. Because they organized over and over. I mean, I cannot tell you how many people made a big difference, who are black women, who absolutely got these two men over the top and into the Senate. What a marvelous night last night was. It just was terrific. Rainy night in Georgia. Oh my goodness, Randy Crawford, such great memories. That song's been done a number of times, but I think that that's the best version of it that I've heard. It's just fantastic. Randy Crawford there with Rainy Night in Georgia. And the weather was actually very good in Georgia on Tuesday, which, of course, for those who may need a refresher course, if I could talk here, Tuesday was the last day to vote. The last day to vote at the polls. Tuesday, January 5th. My goodness me, it's amazing. People were really doubting that this could happen, these two victories. Again, Ossoff's is going to happen. But people were doubting it. People were. I expressed so much confidence. I did say it on this podcast. I didn't say it so much on Twitter, at the Popcorn R-E-E-L. But I did say it here, and you can go back just a couple of episodes ago, or even, just yesterday. But anyway, the last few days, I expressed that confidence about this, and I said it even before then. I'm perhaps bragging it up a little bit here, but this is a really, again, I cannot stress enough how much of a victory this is, a momentous victory. It wasn't just a good night. It was a great night. It was an historic night. It was a momentous night last night. And my goodness me, people, take note of these two victories. This is going to be more of the same when you have organizers like you do down there, like LaTosha Brown, like Stacey Abrams, like a number of others. And you have a population that's changing down in the South, in Georgia. Those metro areas are so important in elections. And you know these Republicans will try to gerrymander this stuff. You know it if they haven't already done it. That's what these people do. They are cheats. And look, you cannot put anything past these folks. I mean, they will try this again. Just like they're trying another coup today. You best believe that they are going to try this again with the gerrymandering and the voter suppression and all the other stuff. And to organize to the level that Black women did in particular, so that even the voter suppression that was going on was not going to be enough to overcome the leads that these two men had. And it was if you looked at the whole night, it went back and forth. It started out with pretty substantial leads for both the Democratic candidates. Then toward the middle and end of the night, it was the Republicans in the lead. But when I heard that the vote that was remaining to be counted was coming from predominantly and very heavily Democratic counties, knowing that the vote at the time was a dead heat, I thought, and I knew, it was game over. Game over. And that these two men were going to win. I tweeted it. I said, a few hours before we would find out, I tweeted that, look, I'm very confident that you will see two Democrats be sent to the Senate. I tweeted that, hours before we found out what happened. So, look, I mean, this was a really good victory. And do not sell yourself short. I want to, by the way, if I haven't already, thank everybody who's listening, who either phone banked, donated, emailed, texted, flew down to Georgia. Whatever you did, I really thank you. And I really do thank you for doing what you have done. Because all of us together working on getting these kinds of people elected, people who really care about people, not people who care about how much their stock portfolio is going to grow and who spend all their time trading in stock. I mean, that's not the kind of people we need in power. We've got enough of them in power on Wall Street as it is. I used to, I used to be one of those people, not nasty like that, but I used to, I know what that's like working on the trading floor. And you adopt a mentality, and then hopefully you either shake it off or you just don't have the mentality. But you know that, you know, you're one of these people who you've got all of this at your feet, so to speak. But anyway, that's a whole nother thing. I just think that we cannot overlook how significant this victory was last night. These two victories. We cannot overlook that. And I just want to say thank you again for everything you have done to get these two people to Capitol Hill. Right now, what I'm going to do is play the 9-minute victory speech from Reverend Raphael Warnock, soon to be Senator Raphael Warnock, and then I will come back on the other side of it. It is 9 minutes, so please bear with me, but it's well worth listening to this great speech from Raphael Warnock. It really is a great speech. That's why I'm putting all of it into this episode. Also, because you probably did not hear it, it was given pretty late at night last night, Eastern time in the U.S., and probably if you're in different countries, depending on where you were, you were probably sleeping, or maybe you were waking up and you were at work or whatever you're doing. And you may not have been aware that Reverend Raphael Warnock was even giving a speech. Kelly Leffler gave a speech, and it was very half-hearted. And she's going to be on Capitol Hill doing this garbage with these other senators, challenging Joe Biden's legitimate result. It's just absolutely ridiculous and obscene and dangerous. But here now, without any further ado, is the full 9-minute plus speech. Take it away, Reverend Raphael Warnock. Take it away, sir. And congratulations to you.
Thank you so very much. I come before you tonight as a proud American and as a son of Georgia. My roots are planted deeply in Georgia soil. A child who grew up in the Caton Homes housing projects of Savannah, Georgia. Number 11 out of 12 children. A proud graduate of Morehouse College and the pastor of Ebenezer Baptist Church, the spiritual home of Martin Luther King Jr. and Congressman John Lewis. A son of my late father, who was a pastor, a veteran, and a small businessman. And my mother, who as a teenager growing up in Waycross, Georgia, used to pick somebody else's cotton. But the other day, because this is America, the 82-year-old hands that used to pick somebody else's cotton went to the polls and picked her youngest son to be a United States senator. So I come before you tonight as a man who knows that the improbable journey that led me to this place in this historic moment in America could only happen here. We were told that we couldn't win this election. But tonight, we prove that with hope, hard work, and the people by our side, anything is possible. May my story be an inspiration to some young person who is trying to grasp and grab hold of the American dream. And so, Georgia, I am honored by the faith that you have shown in me. And I promise you this tonight. I am going to the Senate to work for all of Georgia. No matter who you cast your vote for in this election, in this moment in American history, Washington has a choice to make. In fact, all of us have a choice to make. Will we continue to divide, distract, and dishonor one another? Or will we love our neighbors as we love ourselves? Will we play political games while real people suffer? Or will we win righteous fights together, standing shoulder to shoulder, for the good of Georgia, for the good of our country? Will we seek to destroy one another as enemies or heed the call towards the common good, building together what Dr. King called the beloved community. Here's what I know. I know that we can beat this pandemic with science and good old-fashioned common sense. I know we can rebuild a fairer economy by respecting the dignity of work and the workers who do it. An economy that honors those whom we now call essential workers by paying them an essential wage and providing for them essential benefits. And so to everyone out there struggling today, whether you voted for me or not, know this, I hear you, I see you, and every day I'm in the United States Senate, I will fight for you. I will fight for your family. To our supporters, our incredible campaign team, and to my family, thank you from the bottom of my heart. And to every Georgian who marched with us, organized with us, prayed for us, fought for us, believed in us, or shared their story and their pain with us, thank you for all of your love and support. In the words of Dr. King, who grew up just a few blocks from where I'm sitting right now, we are tied in a single garment of destiny. We are caught up in an inescapable network of mutuality. Whatever affects one directly affects all indirectly. I remember my dad in this moment. He used to wake me up every morning at dawn. It was morning, but it was still dark. It's dark right now, but morning comes. And scripture tells us that weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Let us rise up, greet the morning, and meet the challenges of this moment. Together we can do the necessary work and win the future for all of our children. Thank you. God bless you, Georgia. And God bless these United States of America.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. The Midnight Train. Midnight Train to Georgia. Gladys Knight and the Pips. And the Midnight Train must be rocking and rolling. And must still be rocking and rolling, actually, right now. Right now. I mean, many hours later, after that great victory, those dual victories, the Midnight Train to Georgia has become, I don't know, the afternoon or evening train. I don't know what, you know, this party could last forever. I mean, it really could. Oh my goodness me. Midnight Train to Georgia, Gladys Knight and the Pips. And before the break, that was the roughly six minute speech, not 9 minutes, but 6 minute speech of Reverend Raphael Warnock, his victory speech from, I guess, one of his offices somewhere in the state of Georgia. Maybe from his home even. The audio was not the greatest in terms of, you may have been able to hear a lot of audio hiss and noise, as it's called in the trade. And I don't know why that was. It was not on my end, I can say. But look, nonetheless, you heard loudly and clearly the Senator-elect, Reverend Raphael Warnock, really just spell it out really plainly in a really good speech that gives you a sense of who he is as a person. This is really how Reverend Warnock ran his campaign all the way through, from the time he ran to now. I mean, people have to remember that at one point there were something like 25 different people running in this whole election. I mean, when we go back to the primaries, it was just crazy. It was just crazy. And then it became whittled down to, I think, 3 or 4 or 5 people or something like that in November. And Warnock had won the lion's share of the vote, but he did not win by the sufficient 50% of the vote. And so that meant there was an automatic runoff. And so it was the top two vote getters, which meant it was he and Kelly Loeffler. Doug Collins was gone by the wayside. And the guy, the Lieberman guy, who is the son of Joe Lieberman, who, of course, is the former VP candidate for the Democratic side, that guy, his son, Lieberman, I forget his first name, Mark Lieberman or something, I forget. He did not get enough votes either, so he was gone. And it was just the two of them, and so they ran. So it was what they call a jungle primary. Oh, jeez. You expect Tarzan to show up, I guess. Oh, Lord. That's a horrible name for it. But anyway, it was a so-called jungle primary, and you had 20-plus candidates in there. So this is what Reverend Warnock had to deal with. He had to go through all of these candidates. And just like you heard him say, he's the 11th child of 12. So it wasn't as if he had never encountered this kind of thing before in his life. Having to survive and thrive against a lot of people. And he did it. And now he's going to Washington, D.C. Wow. How about that, huh? Again, a very special thanks to everybody who contributed money, who voted in Georgia. Great voters that you are. Black women in particular who voted, black men, or all the people who voted for Reverend Raphael Warnock and John Ossoff, take a bow right now. Or if you donated to him, phone bank to either of them, you know, whatever it was that aided these two candidates, one or the other or both, I thank you so much. And to Stacey Abrams, to Latosha Brown, to Roland Martin, who did a lot of great work on the ground with his show, Andrew Yang, who moved his family, his whole family down to Georgia for about a month or so, if not more. All of these individuals I just mentioned did stellar work, particularly Stacey Abrams and Latosha Brown with her Black Voters Matter organization. It's just been really great to celebrate these two victories. What a night it was last night for the Democratic Party. And I hope that the leadership takes note of this, of these two victories, these group victories powered by grassroots and progressive people and people who really made a commitment to vote, by black people who voted overwhelmingly. So again, thank you all so very much. And thank you to the Warnock campaign and the Ossoff campaign, winning campaigns all, and to the candidates, congratulations. John Ossoff, who will be announced as the winner pretty darn soon if he has not already. And to Reverend Raphael Warnock, a profile of class and to terrific, you know, he's just a terrific person. And I'm just so happy for him and his family and for the Ossoff family as well. So until we get to Thursday, January the 7th, I want to say to you, thank you very much for listening to this edition of The Politocrat. I'm Omar Moore.